B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Tes, starting on the top line. On Daf Ches, we learned that until the end of the Tanakama, the Chachomim in the Braisa, the long Braisa on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, regarding the four different types of domains, Rishos HaYochid, Rishos HaRabim, Karmelis, and Mokim Petur. At the end of that Braisa, the Braisa mentions Acherim. And the truth is, the Meforoshim say that it's not clear that the Acherim, which, by the way, the Acherim is usually Reb Meir, it's not clear that Acherim are arguing with the Tanakhama, they're just saying another halacha. And we're going to discuss those halachas on this Omud. Says the Gemara, Acherim Oimrim, Askupa Meshameshes Shtei Roshuyos. It's possible for a threshold to serve two domains. Bizman Sha Pesach Pasuach, when the door is open, Kalifnim, then the threshold has the same halachas as Roshos HaYochid inside. Pesach Na'ul, when the door is closed, Kalechutz, then the threshold has the same status as the outside, which is a Roshos HaRabim. Now we have to know, what does this mean? What type of askufa? What's inside? What's outside? Why should opening or closing the doors make a difference? We have to understand that. So the Gemara now assumes that we're talking about a mavui. We'll just introduce what the case is. A typical mavui would be called an alleyway, generally, and in this case we're talking about a mavui which is surrounded by three walls. It's open, completely open on the fourth wall, which is the wall adjacent to the Roshos HaRabim. That means straight off the Roshos HaRabim one enters the mavui. This alleyway, this mavui, has entrances going into it, which is to the chatzeres. There are yards, gardens, whatever you call them, they're coming off the mavui, and in each chotzer there's a number of homes, of batim, each one's belonging to another individual, to another balabais. That's a typical scenario of bias, batim leading into a chotzer, chatzeres leading into a mavui. In order to be able to, for all the people who live there to carry in this mavui, we have to, so to speak, turn the whole thing into Roshos HaYochid. You do that by Shtufei Mavois, which we're not learning now. But once it's Roshos HaYochid, the only time that you're actually allowed to carry in this Roshos HaYochid is if you're not going to, by mistake, carry beyond this alleyway out into Roshos HaRabim, which will be seriously Asa. Since the Mavui itself is surrounded by three walls, everybody agrees that biblically this is a Roshos HaYochid. And once you've done your Eruv, your Shtufei Mavois, as it's called, you're allowed to carry there, but what's stopping you by mistake carrying out into the Roshos HaRabim, which is seriously Asa? For that we have Halacha, that if you have a Heker, a recognition at the entrance between the Mavi and the Roshos HaRabim, then that entrance will act and serve as a reminder that you will not carry beyond that point. What is this reminder? It's either a Lechi or a Kaira. A Kaira is a beam of at least one Tefach wide, going from one end to the next of the Mavui, from one side to the next, which would, so to speak, be the entranceway into the Mavui. And seeing this Koira will remind everyone, this is where the Mavui starts and ends, beyond this is the Roshos HaRabim. There's another recognition you can do instead of a Koira. You can use a Lechi. A Lechi is a pole standing on the edge of the of one side or both sides of the Mavui. And this upright pole, acting as a lechi, will serve as a recognition, don't go beyond this. Now this lechi could be very wide. So now we're going to assume, and let's remember, the walls of the Roshos HaRabim are flush, right angled with the mavui, which means that the entire width of the mavui is open. So putting a lechi there would be a little piece of wood or whatever it would be, adjacent to the wall of the mavui, acting, so to speak, as a tiny little entranceway, like a door frame, so to speak. There's no door there, really, or there doesn't have to be a door there, but it's a little protrusion into the width of the mavui that will act as a reminder not to carry beyond that. Here we're talking about where the askufa, which is the threshold, which is in the mavui, and it's four tfachim wide, and he used a lechi, and this lechi, he used a four tfachim wide lechi. The entire width of the threshold, he took that width and he put a pole put it onto the wall of the Mavui, acting as a lechi. Says the Gemara, assuming that that's the case, and that's what Achirim said, that askupa meshameshes shtei rishuyos, which means that when the door of the Mavui is closed, then this askufa does not belong to the Mavui, and therefore is not a Rishus HaYochid, it's a Rishus HaRabim. When the door of the Mavui is open, it's an annex to the Mavui, and then it's got the halachas of the Mavui, and one is allowed to carry on this askufa. And the door would typically be beyond the askufa. If the askufa is 4 tefachim in to the Mavui, then just beyond that, that's where the doors would close. So when the doors of the Mavui are closed, you're left with a standalone askufa, annexed to the Rishus HaRabim. You're not allowed to carry there, it's got the halachas of Rishus HaRabim. If, however, the doors are open, then it's the entranceway into the Mavui, and the width, the lechi, he's attached to the edge of this askufa, an upright lechi, acts as an entranceway, and therefore it's annexed to the Mavui, and he can carry there. So what it seems to be saying here is that if the doors are open, then one is allowed to carry on this askupa. And here the Gemara is going to ask an interesting question. How does a lechi allow us to carry in the Roshosa, in the Mavui? Because seeing the protrusion of the lechi acts as a reminder, just a minute, you can't carry beyond this. This is an entranceway into a Mavui. Outside of this is the Roshosa Rabim. That's all fine and good. If you're in the Mavui, looking towards the Roshosa Rabim, you can see the protrusion of the lechi, and that acts as a reminder. But when you're actually on the askupa, you don't see the edge of the lechi. You just see that there's a piece of wood that's flush and the same width as the askupa, which is an upright. Why? Then there's no the reminder there. If you start carrying there, what's stopping you carrying outside into the Rishus HaRabim? That's going to be the question of the Gemara. The only way one would be allowed to carry there is if he adds another lechi, a thin pole, flush with the Rishus HaRabim, and he'll see that little lechi even when on the askupa. And then he can carry in the askupa. But in the absence of that extra lechi, you cannot carry in between the lechi on the askupa, because when standing flush with the lechi, you don't see the edge of the lechi, and therefore the lechi will not act as a reminder, and therefore you cannot carry there. So let's see this inside. Asks the Gemara, "Af al gav de lesli lechi, when the doors are open, you can carry on the askupa, even though there isn't a second lechi flash with the Rishus HaRabim. V'ha'omer v'chon mabar gurya omar Rav. It's said in the name of Rav, toicha pesach, within the doorway of the Mavui, above the askupa, flash with a very wide lechi, which is the doorway into the Mavui. Tzorich lechi acher latira. You need a second lechi to allow you to carry in the doorway. And over here in the Braisa that we mentioned, it says that you can carry there as long providing that the doors are open. V'chi teima de lesbe dalad al dalad. Now Rashi explains, could be that the Braisa is not talking about the case we mentioned before. It's talking about a different case. It's talking about that it's true that the three-walled Mavui is flush with the Rishus HaRabim, but not completely. The entrance to the Mavui itself has a wall on each side protruding into it from the Rishus HaRabim, which means the wall of the Rishus HaRabim continues into the area of the entrance of the Mavui. So to speak, there's a doorway going into the Mavui. It's not just the two sides of the Mavui flash and right angled with the Rishus HaRabim. The wall of the Rishus HaRabim continues, and this wall is less than 4 tefachim wide. And if you have these walls, then you don't need a lechi, because the very fact that the Mavui is not completely open to the Rishus HaRabim is a type of a doorway there. Everybody will notice and see that this is the end of the Mavui. Make sure not to carry beyond that. So the Gemara is now going to suggest maybe that type of askupa does not need a second lechi. The only time you need a second lechi is if the area we're talking about is in its own right called a domain on its own. It's 4 tefachim wide. Then I may think that since I'm in my own Rishus, my own domain, I need to have a reminder. But when it's narrower than 4 tefachim and all it is a doorway and an entranceway into the Mavui, that alone serves as a reminder. Maybe that's what the Mishnah meant, that when the doors are open, you can carry there. V'chi teima de lesbe dalad al dalad, Could it be that the Brice is talking about when this Mavi has an entrance, when the entranceway itself is the wall that's protruding into the entrance of the Mavi, it's less than Dalet Fochim? V'ha'omar of Choma Bar Guria Omarav, Toicha Pesach, within the width, parallel and in the Pesach, in the entranceway, Afal Pisha Ein Boy Dalet Al Dalet, Tzarich Lechi Achira Tirei. It's true that we may have thought that you don't need another Lechi, but Rav said you need even another Lechi even there. And in the absence of such a Lechi, you're not allowed to carry even if there's less than four Tvachim. Omar Rav Yud Omar Rav. So Yud Omar Rav explained, what situation are we talking about here in the Braisa? Hocha baskupas movi oskinon. It's true that we're talking about a threshold on an entranceway into a movi, as we've explained till now. But we're talking about a specific case. Chetzio imakura, vechetzio isheine imakura, vekiruyov klapipnim, pesach basuach kalifnim, pesach nol kalachutz. And let's try and understand what that is. Rav is saying that this braisa is not talking about a lechi. We're talking about an askupa, which the reason one's allowed to carry in the movui is it has a koira, a beam, going from side to side. Now let's remember, a typical askupa is maybe four tvachim wide. A typical koira is not going to be very wide. It only needs one tefach in order to be a recognition for the people in the movui. So if you have a koira of a tefach going from one side to the other of the movui over the entranceway, the doors, we said, are flush with the end of the askufa, the edge of the threshold on the side of the movui, that's where the doors are. This koira is covering part of the askufa, but not the whole askufa, which means that if you're looking from the movui, first you have the doors, then you have the koira above the askufa, and then you have the part of the askufa that is not under the koira. So that's what Rav said. It's askufas movi askinon, chetzio im makura, chetzio einim makura. Half of the askufa is covered with this beam, with this koira, and the other half is not covered with the koira. V'kiruyov klapipnim. And this koira is flush with the innermost section of the askufa. That means the koira is not flush with the Rosh HaSarabim, it's just beyond the door on the innermost part of the askufa, which means if you're coming from the Rosh HaSarabim, you first get up onto the step, onto the askufa, which doesn't have a koira on top of it, and then you have a koira, and then you have the doors and the rest of the movi. That's the case that we're talking about here. And now it goes as follows. The halacha is, in movi, that one is allowed to carry underneath the koira. You cannot carry outside the koira, unlike lechi, that you can only carry from within the lechi, but not flash with the lechi. And that's because a lechi does not need to be very wide, and therefore it's impractical, and if one would carry flash with the lechi, one would easily go beyond the lechi outside into the Rosh HaSarabim. But a koira that has to have at least a tefach wide, therefore one is allowed to carry underneath the koira. So if the doors of the movi are open, and now the koira is there and serving the movi, allowing people to carry inside the movi, therefore this has all the halachas of a koira as in all the halachas of movi and koira. It's not just a random beam, and you can carry underneath it. Outside of this koira, which means the part of the askufa that's not carried, not covered by the koira, there you cannot carry, even if the doors are open. But if the doors are open, then at least underneath the koira you can carry. If the doors are closed, then for all intents and purposes, this koira is useless. And therefore it does not have the halachas of a koira, it's just a random beam. And a random beam covering an askupa, one is not allowed to carry there, and therefore it has the halachas of a Rosh HaSarabim. And that's what the Gemara says on the Braisa, Pesach Pasuach. If the doors of the Movi are open, kilifnim, then underneath this koira one is allowed to carry, like the Rosh HaSayochid in the Movi, Pesach Nol, but if the doors are locked or closed, then kilachutz has the status of Rosh HaSarabim, and one may not carry there. And Tosus explains here at more length why this koira has to be flash with the inside of the askufa and not with the outside of the askufa, and a number of other details that we just mentioned, Tosfos explains why they're necessary, but we've only explained as far as what Rashi's explained, and I don't want to make it more complicated. So that's how Rav explained Acherim in the Mishnah, in this particular case of under a Koira, over this Askupa. Are you allowed to carry on this Askufa under the Koira? Depends if the doors of the Mavio are open or closed. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi is going to give a second option and explanation for Acherim when it could apply that there's a threshold in Askupa which is Meshamesh Shtei Roshuyos, that serves two domains depending on whether the door is open or closed. Rav Ashi Omar. We're not even talking about a threshold into a mavui. We're talking about a threshold into a home. And the entrances of the homes very typically had an entranceway, which with Askufa was in the entranceway and was possibly a little step going, which was the threshold, and was surrounded by walls, a type of patio going into a home. Ukagoin Shakira Bishte Koiris. He put two beams on top of this patio. This patio, this Askufa, is 4 tefachim wide. The wall on each side of the Askufa is 4 tefachim wide, but it's not covered. And he covered it with two beams, each one being less than 4 tefachim wide, and there's a gap of less than 3 tefachim in between them. And the doorway, typical, the house of the door, was exactly flush to the area between these two beams covering this patio, this askufa. Kagoin shekira b'shtei koiris. Kshein bezu arba'o v'ein bezu arba'o. Neither had 4 tefachim wide. V'ein bein zu lezu shloisha. And there were no 3 tefachim between the two. V'deles be'emtza. And the door closes exactly in between these two beams. So in that case, Pesach Pasuach, if the door of the home is open, then you can see both of these beams, and since there's less than Gimel Tvachim between them, then we say Lovud, it's as if it's one long beam, one wide beam of 4 Tvachim, and if it's a wide beam of 4 Tvachim, one is allowed to carry underneath it, as if it's part of the house, Kalifnim. Pesach Nol, if the door is locked, is closed, then we do not say Lovud between the two beams because you cannot see the two at any one time. And then the outer beam, being less than 4 tefachim wide, does not serve as an edge of a roof that allows one to carry underneath it, and therefore the area underneath it is considered similar to that and has the status of Roshus HaRabim. That Pi Tikra is Yoyred, which means that if you have the height, the depth or the height, whatever you'll call it, of the edge of the roof, if providing that the roofing itself is 4 tefachim, then the edge is considered the type of edge that Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, we can assume it's as if it's pulled down and the edge comes all the way down to the floor acting as a wall. And that way you have the two walls on the side of the Askufa plus the edge of this tikra, of this roofing, which makes it completely encircled by walls, and therefore it's got the halachas of Urshus HaYochid. However, if it's not a solid beam of 4 tefachim, in which case it doesn't matter if the door is open or not, if it's two beams each less than 4 tefachim, they'll only be considered 4 tefachim with lovud. The door closed will destroy the lovud because you cannot see the two beams at once. If the door is open, then we consider it as being a single beam 4 tefachim wide. If it's 4 tefachim wide, then the edge of that beam, assuming it's a tefach high, will be yoyered v'soysim. It will be as if it's a closure, and then one can carry underneath them. And that's these halachas. Continues the Gemara. The last words of Acherim in that brisa on Davov Amud Aleph go as follows: V'imhoyso askufa gavoya asoro v'rochova dalad. If the askufa itself, the threshold, is 10 tefachim high and 4 by 4 tefachim wide, harizu rishus le'atzma, then it's an entity on its own, a domain on its own, it's a rishus hayochid, as with anything that size has the halachas of rishus hayochid. Says the Gemara, Mesayeh alei l'Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi. The Omer Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi, it's proof to what Rav Yitzchok bar Avdimi said. Oimer hoyo Rav Meir. He said in the name of Rav Meir, and let's remember, Acherim, which is the brisa in the name of Acherim, Acherim is often Rav Meir. Kol mokim sha'ata moitze beis rishuyos, v'hein rishus achas. Kegoin, Amud Birshus Hayochid, Gavoya Yud, Varochav Dalud, Osur Lekasi Folov, Gzeir Mishum Tail Birshus Harabim. When Achirim at the end of the Brisa said that if the Askufa has the dimensions of Rishus Hayochid, it's called a Rishus Le'atzma. What's he trying to say with that? Rishus Le'atzma, seems to be saying that you cannot even carry from there into Rishus Hayochid, into the house. Why not? They're both Rishus Hayochids, flash with each other. Why should one not be able to carry into there? So that's what Rav Meir said. That any place where kol mokem shtamoitza based rishuis, if you have two rishus hayochids that are flash with each other, vehein rishus achas, and they both have the same status, they're both rishus hayochids. Kegoin, for example, amud b'rishus hayochid, in rishus hayochid, you have a pillar which is gavoya asor of rochav dalad, which is in its own right has the dimensions of rishus hayochid. Then osur lekaseif olav, you're not allowed to carry something from the Rishus Hayochid onto this pole, even though they're both Rishus Hayochid and the pole is in the Rishus Hayochid. Why? It's a gzeira mishum tail b'Rishus Harabim. You might get confused and think that you can always put something down on a pillar, and then you're going to have a pillar or some pile of something in Rishus Harabim, and you're also going to put an object down that you were carrying in the Rishus Harabim, or that was in the Rishus Harabim, you'll put it down onto this tail, onto this pillar, and then you will have carried from Rishus Harabim into Rishus Hayochid, which is severely osa. So to avoid that happening, Reb Meir said that even within Rishus Hayochid, do not put anything down from a regular floor level Rishus Hayochid onto a Rishus Hayochid, onto some protrusion, some amud. And that's what Amchayim meant at the end of this brisa, that if the askufa itself is 10 tfachim high and 4 by 4 wide, then it's, so to speak, its own identity, its own entity, and therefore you cannot carry from there even into the Rishus Hayochid. Proof, it's the same as Reb Meir. Says the Mishnah, Lo yeshiv odom lifnei hasapor somuch lemincha. A person may not go into the barber if it's close to the time of mincha. Ad sheyespalel, until he's davened mincha. After he's davened mincha, he can go to the barber. Lo yikonis odom lemerchatz, similarly a person should not go into the bathhouse, v'lo lebursuki, nor into a tannery, a place where they tan and prepare the skins to become leather, v'lo lechil, nor should he sit down to eat, v'lo ledin, and nor should they start, the dayonim should not start a judgment before mincha. V'im hischilu, if a person started any of the above mentioned before mincha, Ein mafsikin, and this is not only if he started before the time of Samach L'mincha. Tosva says even if he started after the time of Samach L'mincha, he started b'isur, then providing that he still has time to daven mincha, he does not have to stop. He has to make sure when it comes to the end of the zman that he makes sure to daven mincha. Mafsikin likres kriyas shema v'ein mafsikin litfila. A person has to stop in order to say Kriyas Shema, but does not have to stop for Shemayna Esra, and the Gemara is going to explain what this last line in the Mishnah is referring to. Now Rashi says that this whole Mishnah applies to every single day, not only to Erev Shabbos, but since in the coming Mishnayos we're going to discuss the things that one is not allowed to do on Erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon, in fear that he's going to transgress one of the melachos of Shabbos, so it also puts in this Mishnah of things you're not allowed to do any day before Mincha, but this Mishnah applies to every day, not just Erev Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Hey Samuch L'Mincha, we know that there are two times for Mincha. There's Mincha Gedoila, which is the earliest time a person may daven Mincha, which is half an hour after Chatzos Hayom, after midday. Chatzos is always 6 hours into the day, and we have to remember this is not 6 hours on our clock called Shois Shavois, equal hours. These are Shois Zmanios, which are hours which are halachically ordained hours, which means that from the beginning of the day, whenever that is, we're not discussing that now, until the end of the day is split into 12, each section being considered 1 hour. And similarly, the night is split into 12. It could well be that an hour in a day is longer than 60 minutes or shorter, and so too the night. In a long summer day, on a short summer night, an hour in the day will be more than an hour on our clocks, and an hour in the day, an hour in the night will be less than an hour on our clocks. But either way, 6 hours, halachic hours into the day is chatzos. One may only start davening mincha when one can tell that the sun is starting to set, which is half an hour later. So mincha gedoyla is 6.5 hours into the day. Samuch l'mincha means half an hour before that, which is from the end of the 6th hour of the day. There's also a time of mincha ketana, which is the latest time that they would shecht the korban tomid shel ben arbaim, which is 9.5 hours into the day. And the samuch l'mincha ketana would be the beginning of the 10th hour, which is after 9 hours, half an hour before mincha ketana. The question in the Gemara is, which samuch l'mincha are we talking about that the things mentioned in the Mishnah may not be done? Is it samuch l'mincha gedoyla, or is it samuch l'mincha ketana? Says the Gemara, ilem l'mincha gedoyla, could it be that the Mishnah is referring to samuch l'mincha gedoyla, which means from chatzos hayom, even though you still have another 6 hours to daven mincha, 5.5 hours to daven mincha, nonetheless, all these things are asa. Amai loy ha'ika shoyis b'yom tuva. Then why would that be true? Why should it be true that all these things are asa so long before the end of the day? Elo samuch l'mincha kedana. Logic dictates that these things are there. The reason one's not allowed to do these things is because we are afraid a person's going to miss davening mincha, and therefore it's probable that it's talking about mincha ketana, which is just a couple of hours before the end of the day. Im hischilu ein mafsikin, and in this case it says that if they started doing any of these things, either beheta or beissa, one does not have to stop. This seems to contradict what Rabbi Shua ben Levi said. To Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, kiven shehigi azman tfilas mincha, as soon as the time of mincha has arrived, osur la'odom shiit oim klum, he's not allowed to taste anything, even if he started eating before, as soon as the time of mincha arrives, he has to stop eating straight away. Koidem shispalil tfilas mincha, until he's daven tfilas mincha. And our Mishnah seems to say that even if he started eating, you do not have to stop. Says the Gemara, Loi, la'olam samuch l'mincha gedoyla. It's true that samuch l'mincha ketana, if mincha ketana comes according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, you have to stop eating. And our Mishnah is not talking about mincha ketana, it's talking about mincha gedoyla. And then the question comes back, why should Chazal asar us to do all these things in the Mishnah if it's so long before the end of the day? So the Gemara is going to explain that there's a way that in certain situations where the things mentioned in the Mishnah could all take a very long time, and therefore even 5.5 hours before the end of the day, one may get carried away and miss the Zman of Mincha, and therefore it's Asa. And the Gemara is going to explain, ubetispoires, regarding going into a sapor, into a barber, we're talking here about a haircut of Ben Elosha, where Ben Elosha was used to practicing the haircut that was typically done on a Kohen Gadol, which was a delicate and lengthy process, and therefore, even though there's so many hours before the end of the day, the Chachomim were afraid he would miss Mincha, and therefore, from Mincha Gedoyla, or Samuch L'Mincha Gedoyla, a person may not start such a haircut before davening Mincha. Regarding going into the bathhouse, it's true that if somebody goes into the bathhouse just to sweat a little bit and then come out, that shouldn't take so long. But if he's lekulo milsa de merchatz, if he's going into the bathhouse to do the whole process of what people could do in the bathhouse, and Rashi explains it means first washing his hair and then washing himself in boiling water, in hot water, and then in cold water, and then sweating. It's a whole process which could take a long time, and therefore it's also even from samuch l'mincha gedoyla. V'loy l'bursiki, going into a tannery, l'bursiki gedoyla. If one goes into a very large tannery with many skins there, and we're talking here about starting the process, which is a lengthy procedure, that could take time, and therefore one may not do that samuch l'mincha gedoyla. V'loy l'echil, besuda gedoyla. It's true that taking a snack or eating a small suda doesn't take that long, but sitting down to a big suda could easily take time, and he may get carried away and miss mincha. V'loy l'din, not to start a judgment, b'tchilas din, is referring to the beginning of the din, where the people, who are arguing the Balei Din, where they are starting their arguments in front of the Beis Din, and therefore that could be a long, drawn-out procedure, and therefore one should not do it samuch l'mincha gedayla unless one is davened mincha. Rabbi Yaakov says differently. He says la'olam b'tispoyres didon. It could even be a regular haircut, and nonetheless samuch l'mincha gedayla it's asur. Ask the Gemara l'katchila amai loy yeshiv. Why can a person not sit and have a haircut if it's so many hours before the end of the zman? What are we afraid of? Gzeiru shem yishaber hazug. The Gemara says we're afraid that the scissors of the barber are going to break, and then you're going to have to look for a new scissors, and this could take time. And therefore, samuch l'mincha gedayla, even though it's a regular haircut that does not take so much time, he should not start a haircut. V'loy l'merchat l'azia be'alma. And regarding going into the bathhouse, even if he's going in just to sweat, still it's asa. L'katchila amayloi. Why do we not let him do that? Samuch l'mincha gedayla, if there's so much time and sweating doesn't take that long. Gezeira shemo yis'alfa. We're afraid that he's going to possibly become faint, and if he's going to be faint, he may miss the mincha till the end of the day. V'loi l'bursiki. And going into a tannery, li'yuna ba'alma. It could be he's just going in to inspect the skins. And not that he's going into a big tannery where he's starting a new process. L'katchila amayloi. Why can he not do this l'katchila if there's so many hours till the end of the day? Dilma chodi pseida bezvini. Maybe he's going to see something that is wrong, some lack, some loss with his wares. Umitrud, he's going to become preoccupied with his potential loss and he'll get carried away and miss mincha. V'loi lechil besuda ktana. It could be that even eating a small meal one may not do from samuch l'mincha gedayla. L'katchila amayloi. Why not? Dilma osi l'mshuche. Even a small meal, it could end up becoming a long, drawn-out thing. He might get carried away with a meal, and therefore he should not have even a short, small meal from the time of samuch l'mincha gedayla, unless he's already daven mincha. V'loi l'din. And even sitting down, the Dayanim, to finish off a court case, Bigmaradin, is talking about where they've already heard all the claims of all the Balei Din, and nonetheless it's Asa. L'katchila amayloi. Why should that be the case? Why can they not just finish off the din between themselves from samuch l'mincha gedayla? It should not take so long. Dilma chazi taima. Maybe they're going to see a new reason, a new perception, a new way of looking at the case. V'sos ardina, and they'll overturn the conclusions they've already come to, and then for all intents and purposes, it's as if they're starting the din again. And starting a new din is also because it can take a long time, it's a drawn out and lengthy process. Continues the Gemara. Me'eimo sai hascholas tispoires. The Mishnah says that if you started, even though it's samuch l'mincha, you do not need to stop. What's called starting a haircut? Omer of Ovin Mishayaniach Ma'afires Shel Saporin al Birkov. It was typical that the barbers would take a special cloth and put it onto the lap of the person having the haircut, so the hair should not get all over his clothes. As soon as they put this cloth over his lap, that's called starting the haircut, and from that point on he does not have to stop. He does, however, have to make sure that he doesn't miss the time of mincha. Ume'emu says cholas merchatz. What's called starting in the bathhouse? Omer b'ovin mishayera ma'afartoi himenu. When he typically removes his outermost clothes, which is the first thing he removes when wanting to go into the bathhouse, when he's removed that cloth, that's called starting, and from then he does not have to stop, even though the Zman of Mincha has arrived. Ume'ema se'as cholas bursiki, what's called starting in the tannery? Mishayikshir bank seifov, when he ties his sleeves up between his shoulders, then that's called that he started in the tannery. Ume'ema se'as cholas achila, what's called the start of eating, of a meal? Rav Omar Mishayitail Yodov. Rav says it's from when he washes Netilas Yadayim for his meal. Rav Chanina Omar Mishayatir Chagura. From when he opens up his belt, that's already called that he's settled down for the meal and he does not have to stop, even if the Zman of Mincha has arrived. V'loi pligi, they're not arguing. Ha'olon ha'olohu. For us people in Bovel, where it was typical that they would tie their belts very tight, then opening up their belts was a whole process, and that's called the start of a meal. But for them in Eretz Yisrael, where they would not tie their belts so much, and therefore opening the belt was not a big deal, Therefore, the start of the meal is from Netilas Yodayim. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to start from here.